We'll look, take your Bible this morning. We're going to look at some things. Things on being thankful. Now, this is dealing with some people who were thankful.
And speaking of thankful, that reminds me to say thank you to the ladies of Lee's Chapel Baptist Church again for the meal and the preparation and all y'all did for the family of Miss Hicks. I know that they appreciate it, but I want to formally say that thank you. It was a beautiful spread and the food and all the hard work and effort y'all do. And I know that Miss Hicks, Mamma Hicks, would have really appreciated that and had a big smile on her face for that. Amen. And so she, today, I'd say she probably hadn't stopped running yet. And I'd say Brother Dennis is running with her, and a bunch of others are up there running. Big reunion day for them up there. Amen. Sad day here. Glorious day there. Can't wait for we're all together. Amen. But I'm thankful. I really, truly am. I'm thankful that, one, I had the opportunity to know them and know a lot of other people in here that has passed on and got to be able to have fellowship with them so that one day when I get there, I'll have somebody to fellowship with. Amen. Problem with it is that when you grow up in a family, see, you got a goodly heritage. I said this the other night. You got a goodly heritage. Folks, I don't mean this to try to get pity, but I ain't going to have a whole lot of family there. Just ain't going to be there. Why? Because I didn't have a patriarch like that. But I'm thankful I got to know her. I'm thankful I got to go know Red's mom and dad for just a brief moment. And some of those that I can say, well, hey, when I get there, I'll have somebody I can say hi to. I won't be alone. Amen. So that's a blessing to be able to have that. Take your Bible with me, if you would, and we'll go over to Colossians chapter 3. I said that the other night about my grandmother's, and it seems kind of cruel and cold, but I really didn't try to mean it that way. But it's just the truth. Folks, it's just the truth. The truth is the truth. Whether it hurts or not, or sounds bad or not, it's still the truth. And when you get around godly people and you get around them for a while, you start to want to draw toward them. If you got anything in you, you want to be around those people. You want to be clean. Now, I don't know about you, but when I got saved, I remember the old preacher saying that, and it rung with me when he said it. He said, I just wanted to be somewhere that was clean. And I wanted to be somewhere that was clean, and I liked being around people that were clean. Why? Because you could be at ease and just enjoy it and not have to always be on guard. Amen? In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15, the Bible tells us here, it says, let this peace of God rule in your heart, to which also ye are called in one body, and be thankful. Let's pray. Father God, we do come to you again, and Lord, we do ask you to bless now this message. And Father God, we pray you bless your people today. And Father, I pray you comfort the family. And Lord, I know that we've suffered a loss, but Father, they've gained. And Father, we know that she's in a place of joy and rest. And Father, that she's with loved ones and received highly. And Father, she is comforted. Even Father, though we weep right now, there is a reunion day. And Father, I am truly thankful that there will be a reunion day. God, I pray you help us to be thankful this morning. Thankful for what she meant and thankful for others that they meant in our lives. And Father, I pray you bless it now. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I want to take and look at some people who were thankful in the Bible. Now, if all people should be thankful, it ought to be us. A Christian ought to be thankful. I know that we weep and sorrow for loved ones, and I know that we desire to have fellowship with those that have gone on, but we ought to be thankful. If all people, we ought to be thankful. Why? for the things that we have promised to us and the comforts that we have knowing. Because the lost world doesn't know. The lost world has no hope. The lost world only has what they have right now in the immediate. The closest a lost man's going to get to heaven is what he's doing right now on this earth. The closest he's going to get to heaven. He's never going to gain one more inch there. But the closest to hell you will ever be is where you're at right now. It's the closest you'll ever get to hell. If hell were to appear, it would have to physically, as Brother Earl said, move out of our way as we pass through. Why? Because there is no possible way I can go to hell. The blood of Christ has sealed me, saved me, and put a set upon me to a place that I'm going to be, and I couldn't go to hell if I wanted to. Now, there's going to be some Christians that go to heaven kicking and screaming because they thought they could lose it. But they're still going. But we know. We know, and we ought to be truly thankful. I mean, we ought to be thankful. Now, though, let's look at some that were thankful in the Bible. Take your Bible. We're going to go through the Bible and look at some characters this morning. I say some characters, some individuals. They're not characters in a fictional play, as the word character may be used. They're characters and individuals of the Bible that are real. And the first one I want to look at is, if we go back to Genesis, we'll have to go back to Genesis 4, and we'll just kind of work our way across to some of the individuals, would be Abel. I'd say Abel, wouldn't you think, would be a thankful individual. He was thankful. He was thankful for the acceptance of God. You know what, brother, sister? You ought to be thankful for the acceptance of God. We've got a lot to be thankful for. I mean, you know, like the sister was singing a few minutes ago, we've got a place. And we've got a deed and a title to a place. Are you thankful for that? When was the last time you told God thank you? You know, we spend a lot of time, and I know we all have problems and we all have issues and we all have burdens and things, but when was the last time you just took and take your time and said thank you to God? Just for the things you have. I know there's troubles. I know there's trials. I know there's tribulations and everything else and all that, but, you know, we have a lot to be thankful for on top of all that. My list of thankfulness should be, and I believe it is, 5 times, 10 times longer than any troubled list. I mean, I could sit here and start saying thank you to God for the things that He's done for me. And I could go on and should be able to go on easily for an hour. Easily, without slowing down. Just one right after the other of thankfulness. And we find here that Abel, his sacrifice was brought. And in Genesis 4 and verse 4, and it says, "And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and unto his offering. But notice, unto Cain and his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell." Notice here that Abel was grateful. I guarantee you, Abel's running around shouting glory that God accepted his offering. Cain didn't get his acceptance. Now, in today's world, we'd be mad at God for that. We'd have said, well, you know, Cain should have got a participation program, trophy. You know, God shouldn't have done him that way. If he was a loving God, he would have accepted both of them. Abel's over there, he's thanking God that he was accepted. Why? Because he done it the way God asked him to do it. Are you thankful for being accepted by God because you did it the right way by taking Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? When was the last time you said, God, thank you for taking me? I don't deserve it. I didn't do anything to earn it. But you took me. Thank you for just taking me. I'm going to tell you, you know, listen, God got the short end of the stick on a lot of us. Now, some of them, he got a bargain. But a lot of us, he got short end of the stick by far. I know at least with me anyway. And I thank God he accepted me. Because I promise you, I was no winner. And still ain't no winner. But I'm sure glad he accepted me. I'm glad God reached down one day there at March 27th, 1995. I mean, good night. Man, woman got saved at 11 years old and lived her life for God. I got saved. I ain't no way I can catch up with that woman. 11 years old. Got saved and walking with God. Y'all do the math. She's 96. How many years is that? Somebody is smart. Tell me. 85 years. Man, glory to God. What a thing. What a testimony. I got saved in 95. I've been trying to please the Lord what little stupidity that I am for 20 years. But I sure am glad He accepted me. I sure am glad He didn't say no. I'm sure I'm glad I didn't come like Cain did. I'm glad I come like Abel. And I sure am, just like Abel, glad He accepted me. Abel was glad because God accepted his sacrifice. Notice in Genesis chapter 8, got Noah. Now I tell you, there's an old boy I guarantee you was thankful. Old Noah over here in chapter 8, verse 1, it says, "And God remembered Noah." Whew. I tell you what, now that would be a little tricky. You're out there building that ark, you know, and you're getting it done. You know it had to come in Noah's mind, I'm sure, because he's human like we are. You get about 3/4. And any building project, any of you men in here, you know if you've ever done a building project, you're never on time. You know, there's always, you know, the lumber's, you know, back ordered, or we can't get screws, or the HVC guy, he's backed up, he can't get over there to put the unit in, and the inspector's got me on hold, and whatever's going on. But you know that any building project you've ever done has never been on time. You imagine old Moa thinking, "Man, I ain't going to get it on time and the rain starts. Oh, man, Lord, please let me get this done." I'd say Noah was thankful for deliverance. God delivered Noah. Out of all the world, God delivered Noah. Are you thankful for God's deliverance? Now, I know that, now you got to remember, when you get delivered from something, it means you didn't go through it. But when you get deliverance, it means you're going through it and you made it through on the other side. See, old Noah made it through the whole thing. And he got deliverance. Have you ever been through some troubles and trials and got the deliverance? I mean, troubles. Now, they may not all have been physical troubles. Maybe some of them were emotional. Maybe some of them were spiritual. Maybe some of them were financial. They're all kind of different trials and troubles. But you come out on the other side, man, and you're kind of worn and torn, and you go, "Glory to God. Thank you, Lord." It makes you more appreciative, doesn't it? Makes you more appreciative. You got to be thankful, man. I tell you, we're not thankful near enough for some of the things that God's done for us. If we would sit and ponder the things that God has really delivered us from and had deliverance through. I mean, you really start kind of evaluating life, and it should. I know that I've been able to be around some people that have gone through some really troublesome health problems and things, and you know, a couple of them were some close calls, you know, and you didn't think they were going to make it through, and God gives them the deliverance through it. It changes your attitude about some things. You start kind of reevaluating life and what's really important, what's not. Or it should, anyway. I guarantee you when Noah came out on the other side and all those people were gone and there wasn't nobody left but him and his family, Noah had a different outlook on life. And he sent, set him up an altar and he burnt sacrifice to the Lord, thanking him. Old Noah was thankful for the deliverance that God gave him. We ought to be thankful when God gives us deliverance through something. Get victory over a sin in our life. We ought to really appreciate that. We ought to really be thankful for it. Now notice another one in Genesis. Go over to Genesis chapter 22. Oh, Genesis chapter 22 and dealing with Abraham. Now here's another man that really was thankful to the Lord. Now again, I got to reiterate the fact that we Christians ought to be, out of everyone that I'm mentioning on this list, we ought to be thankful. We ought to outdo them by a mile. Because there's been more given to us on a personal level as individuals than any of these in the Bible. What are you saying? I'm saying that God gave His only Son for us. Didn't do that for none of them. He did it for us. Now that ought to strike a chord with you. There ought to be something in you that clicks and go, you know what, brother, you're right. I should be a lot more thankful than I am. I ought to really try to get off my pity party a lot of times. I ought not to be so bad-mouthing all the time about things the way they go. I ought to really be more thankful for what I actually have, instead of some of the things that I, you know, are covetous over. Old Abraham here, he's there. Notice in chapter 22, and we're going to pick it up around verse 16. Now this is, says, and said by himself, or verse 15, says, and the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of the heaven the second time and said, by myself I have sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, in that a blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sands upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Because, what? Thou hast obeyed my voice. Here, I guarantee you, old Abraham was thankful for God's friendship. The friendship of God. He got out there, Abraham was faithful enough to God that he was going to offer his son Isaac, knowing full well that he believed God, that he was his friend, and they've walked together for many years, and he knew that it, no matter what happened, him and that boy were going back down that hill. And that God, if he did, God would raise him up and let him come back down that hill. And because of that friendship that Abraham and God had developed with one another, God blessed him for it. Do you have a friendship with God that you can be thankful for? Maybe he's thinking, man, you know, I really don't have a good friendship with God. I really don't talk to him like I ought to. I really don't spend time with him like I should. Like I said now earlier, if anybody ought to be thankful, we ought to be the group that ought to be the most thankful out of any of these people I've said. Because there's been more given to us freely, without anything required by us other than to receive that free gift. That's all we had to do. We didn't have to do anything. I didn't have to lay anybody on the altar. I didn't have to build a boat. I didn't have to take a lamb and cut its throat. I didn't have to do any of those things. All I had to do was receive the blessing that God had for me. And in anybody else in that whole group that I've named so far, I tell you, we ought to be the most thankful. And I want to know this morning, how is your friendship with God? How's your friendship with Him? I know He's been a friend to you and me because He gave me a free gift. But have I reciprocated that friendship? Have I reciprocated it back to Him in the way He's given it to me? Do I think highly of Him as He did His Son to sacrifice Him for me? I ought to be thankful this morning. I mean, really, you know what? My best friend should be my Heavenly Father and my Savior, Jesus Christ. That should be my best friend. It should be the one I converse with most. I mean, I have friends here, and I love y'all dearly. And we converse, and we talk, and we laugh, and we joke, and we talk about things, and we discuss things, and we do things together. But truthfully, my bulk of my friendship ought to be spent with Him. And it should be with you too. The quality time you have with your friend, evaluate that real quick in your mind. Do you have a good quality time with your friend? Abraham spent time with God, praying, talking, walking, being obedient to Him. Now notice something else now while we're in Genesis. Let's look over in Genesis chapter 24. Genesis chapter 24, just a few chapters over. I want to look at Isaac. Genesis chapter 24 and verses 66 and 67. This is dealing with Isaac here, and it says in verse 66, and it says, "And the servant told Isaac all the things that he had done." Now he's recounting the story now, and verse 67 it says, "And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent and took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her, and Isaac was comforted after his mother's death." We find here that the servant brings Rebekah and he presents her to Isaac, and he recounts the story how his father had called him in, and what the father had said, "Listen, put your hand here on my thigh. I want you to swear now. This is what I want you to do." And he promised and swore that that's what he'd do. And the servant goes and he goes back and God provides and opens the path and reveals everything to the servant. The servant finds Rebekah and he brings them back and finds this and presents this bride to Isaac. You know what Isaac was thankful for? Thankful for good parents. See, that wouldn't have happened if it hadn't been for his daddy. Because it was his daddy that got the servant to get him that girl and got him a good girl. Listen, young people, you in here this morning? You think you know more than daddy and mama. You get to an age that you think, man, you know, they're so archaic and this church is so out of date and this Jesus thing is, you know, just a drag, man, as they'd say back in my generation. I'll tell you, you've got to thank God for good parents. You ought to thank God for good parents. I'm going to tell you, folks, listen to me, young people. You ought to thank God for good parents. Because there's some of you in here know what it's like not to have good parents. You grew up with some things that you don't even want to talk about, much less discuss. And you're sitting in here this morning and you got parents that got you up this morning and you're mad because you couldn't sleep in or whatever. And they made you come down here so you can hear some old big mouth preacher get up there and talk. Y'all thank God. Y'all turn to him and say, "Thank God you brought me here." Why? Because it's going to pay off somewhere in your life. Somehow, you're going to come to a point where you're going to have to make a decision, and automatically in your mind, some things are going to come up, and you're going to remember some things. Now, whether you do it or not is your choice. But you're going to be without excuse, because those things are going to come up, and you're going to hear your mama and your daddy's voice. And you're going to hear a preacher preaching. You're going to remember a sermon. You're going to remember a statement. You're going to remember something your mama said. Maybe something your daddy said. Or maybe something they made you read in the Bible when you was down there in that Sunday school class. But something's going to remind you and God's going to say, "Here you go." Because there's a lot of kids in this world that will never have that come up. They don't have that. It's not going to come up in their memory bank to give them that alternative option. They don't have it. They don't thank God for good parents. That they brought you. And they encouraged you. And yea, made you be present. And made you participate. You ought to thank God for it. Oh, it's just a terrible thing. They're making me do this. It's child abuse. That's the way the world looks at it now. You know what? I guarantee you, when Isaac and Rebekah, there was a point in Isaac's life when everything was said and done. I guarantee you, he got somewhere and said, "Thank you, God, for my mom and dad. Thank you, God, that they prayed for me. God, that they followed you. And God, that they helped me get a good wife that's going to be with me and support me." I guarantee you he did. I guarantee you, he sang praises to them. I'm going to tell you, young people, you got moms and dads in here that you, I hope when you get old, you'll raise your hand to heaven and say, thank God I had the mom and daddy I had. Because there's a lot of kids out there that don't have that and never will have it. And you know what's going to happen to them? Because of the lack of parenting and whatever it was, that child is going to grow up, and unless the grace of God, something happens, and that person gets saved, they're going to die and go to hell one day. And one day, because your parents are here, and at some point you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, one day you're going to stand on the shores of glory, and whether you mouth it now or not, you'll mouth it then, thank God for my mom and daddy, that I'm not in hell. Isaac was thankful for good parents. Notice over in Psalms chapter 37, we'll move on here. We've got quite a few more to do, and I want to get through them all. Psalms chapter 37. In Psalms chapter 37, we're dealing with David. And David, he's really started out on a good path and finished up on a good path, but he had some bumps in between. Notice in Psalms chapter 37 and in verses 23 and verse through verse 26. Now this is a Psalm of David. And in verse 23, we start out in Psalms 37, verse 23, it says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his ways. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Verse 25, I have been young, David said, and now I'm old. It's written in the latter years of David, looking back, backward perspective. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. You know what David was thankful for? David was thankful that he could find forgiveness. He was thankful that he could find forgiveness. Old David started out real good as a young man. Man, he killed the giant. He's going for God. He's on fire. He gets anointed king. Even while the whole time he's anointed king, almost all of Saul's rule, he is running from the man, hiding in caves and ditches and everything else, and rightfully the king. But would never lay his hand on Saul, never take his hand up against the man, because he stood righteous before God, and because of that, God blessed him and blessed him and blessed him. And then finally, he gets to be king. He gets to be king. His guard dropped a little bit. He made some mistakes. Paid for them, but he made them. But you know what? David crawled in there on that altar, got in there in that place, and got up there, and he begged God forgiveness and found it. Are you thankful that you can find forgiveness, friend, when you make a mistake? Are you thankful that you can find a place where you can go to and get back to God and get renewed with Him like David did? Are you thankful? Do you thank God that you have a place of forgiveness? You know what? I mean, you know, think about it, folks. We got a place we can go. I don't have to kill a bull. I ain't got to drag a bunch of goats up. I ain't got to take some doves. I ain't got to do any of that. All I've got to do is come to an altar or anywhere where I see fit, get down on my knees, and in a true repentant mood in my heart, and really want to seek God and find forgiveness. Just be honest with Him. Thank God I messed up. Here I am again, Lord. That's my statement. Here I am again, Lord. I've messed up again. But when was the last time you thanked Him for being able to do that? You have that avenue. You have that free avenue to be able to come boldly. The Bible tells me over in Hebrews chapter 4, I can come boldly and find help and grace in the time of need, I believe is how it goes. Is that it right? No? I might have misquoted it. Wade will correct me later. He's my walking in Bible for that. But I know that I can come and I can find grace and I can find help and I can find mercy. I can get to that throne and I have free access. When was the last time you said, God, thank you for allowing me to find forgiveness? You don't require anything out of me. I can just come up here and get forgiveness, get myself dusted off, and I can try again. I ain't got to pay nothing. I ain't got to swipe anything. I ain't got to do anything. All I've got to do is come. And if I come and my heart's right, I can find forgiveness. If not, He'll keep me there till I get it right. Amen. But it's still free. And I still have an avenue. You know what David was thankful for? I guarantee you David probably shouted for being able to get forgiveness. And we take it a lot of times as lighthearted. We'll do something and say, God, forgive me. We really don't even mean it. We just kind of halfway throw it out there. Because it's kind of halfway, we feel required. Oh, God, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that. But really, I really meant what I said, Lord. I'm really not sorry. I'm just saying it. Now, you may not admit that to yourself, but I guarantee you, there's been times where you've been hypocritical to God. We all have. But David sure was thankful when he did find it. Now, let's go over to the New Testament, look at a few in the New Testament, and then we'll be done. Look over in Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17, we find the leper. Now, surely if anybody is thankful, a leper ought to be thankful. I mean, a leper ought to be the one shouting and doing laps and everything else. But notice here in Luke chapter 17, let's pick it up in verse 12. Luke chapter 17, verse 12, the Bible says, "And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off." Now notice they're doing it correctly. They stood afar off, like they were supposed to. It was required of them. And they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." So they've got the right mindset. They're wanting mercy. They understand that Jesus is a master. "And when he saw them, he said unto them," notice there's no approach between them. They're still at a distance. He's still talking back to them. He tells them, he says unto them, "And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass as they went, they were cleansed." Now you would think that when that happened, that a revival should have broke out between all 10 of them, man, and they should have been like, "Oh, man, let's get back there and tell that man, thank you." Doesn't happen. It says there, when they were all went, they were cleansed. In verse 14, at the end of the verse, starting in verse 15, it says, "And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he turned back." 1 out of 10. You know what that tells you? There's a good lesson there. 1 out of 10 people are thankful. And it goes without saying that 1 out of 10 Christians are really thankful a lot of times. Now, not on every situation. It changes. But I guarantee you, you'll find that sometimes Christians aren't as thankful as they should be. I've seen it happen. They're saved, but they won't serve God. You ever seen somebody get saved and never darken a church door? They're saved. That's what they wanted. They're not thankful because they don't serve. You can't tell me you're thankful, but you won't serve the one you're thankful to. Listen, you know what? My mama, bless her heart, I love her, and she was a saved because she gave me her testimony. But she didn't start even attending church after they got out when we were little until she was in her 80s. A little late to serve in it. A little late. Was she thankful? I think she was, but it took her an awful long time to get there. But even with that, if we look at it from a humanistic standpoint, my mother, I was a mama's boy. I'd do whatever I could to please my mom. I wanted to make my mom, I wanted to please her. It was in me. It wasn't demanded of me. I wanted to please her. I wanted to get a smile on her face. I wanted to do those things. I would call her, Mom, move up here. Stay with me. I'll buy that place next to us. The one Bo ended up buying. I said, I'll buy that. I said, you can live there. You can live right next. Why? Because I wanted to please her and I wanted her there. So I'm telling you that if somebody does something for you and you're thankful, you show it. You'll show it. And I know a lot of Christians that don't show it. I'm not saying they have to show it to me, but they ought to show it to the Lord. So I find in here, I find with this, that there's a law of averages here. One out of the ten came back to say thank you. It ought to be a warning to us. It ought to be an alarm to us. Hey, I don't want to be one of those nine. Not that they didn't get healed, but they never come back and say thank you. They just took what they got. There's people that get saved and they take what they got and they got the salvation and they just go on. Never darken a church house door, never pass out a tract, never witnessed anybody else. How many times have you got on a place or you run into somebody and then all of a sudden you get talking about church and they go, yeah, I got saved when I was a kid. But you wouldn't know it by talking to them any other time than that. Weren't very thankful, were they? So we find here that this gentleman, whoever he was, come back and he fell down on his face at his feet giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus answered and said, were there not ten cleansed? But where are the nine? Now notice the statement that the Lord makes. The Lord confirms what I just said. Were there not ten? Where's the nine? One out of ten will come back. Where's the nine? Lord knew where the nine was at. He's using it as a statement. And he says, were there not found, return to give glory to save this stranger? And he said, arise and go thy way. Thy faith has made thee whole. So now, this particular individual, because he was thankful and he came back, God gave him an extra blessing and made him whole. Not just cleansed, but restored him, made him whole again. I guarantee you that gentleman right there was thankful. I guarantee you, he was glad when he said to himself, man, I sure am glad I went back. I sure am glad I showed up that night in that service. I sure am glad I made sure I got up that morning. I'm going to tell you something. The morning you decide, because now I understand you get sick. I'm not talking about sickness. But the morning you lay there, and we all do it, and I've done it, and everybody else I know has done it, at some point in time in your life, you're going to lay there, and it's church time, and you're going to go, man, I just really don't feel. Now, you're not sick, you just don't feel like going. You ever had that? You can be honest, don't raise your hand, just in your mind, kind of go, yeah, yeah. I'm going to tell you, that's the morning you best drag yourself out of bed and be there. It pays. And you need to be thankful for that. Because it happens to every one of us. I've had it happen to me, man. I just soon called Brother Adam and see if he'd preach for me this morning. I just lay here. Amen. Well, you ain't supposed to do that. You're the pastor. I'm human just like everybody else. And long before I was ever a pastor, long before I was ever called to preach, when I got saved, I learned that early on. Because I asked my preacher about it. I said, man, why is it sometimes I just don't want to get out of bed in the morning? He laughed and he said, that's just the flesh, brother. Most likely you're going to miss a blessing if you don't show up. That ain't got anything to do with legitimate illnesses. We understand that. But you know how it is when you just kind of get, really just don't feel like going today. I guarantee you that leper, he was cleansed and his thankfulness made him whole. You know God, what God's looking? He's listening. He talks to you. He's listening to see if you're thankful. I guarantee you, when you pray, God listens to you. I know He does. The Bible tells us He does. But I guarantee you, God's listening, and He's saying, you know, at what point is He going to be thankful here? Because a lot of times we get so caught up in the moment. And I'm not trying to kick anybody. We all do it. We get caught up in the importance of a prayer, a particular thing that we're trying to get across, that we really, really want to get God's attention and get it over there. But we always got to remember, we need to be, you know, when you're thankful, God gives you a little extra there. Be thankful. You should come to Him with a thankful heart and a humble heart. We find there that the leper he's thankful, he's found, he's made whole. Now let's go over in Acts chapter 10. We got a couple more after that one. Acts chapter 10. Let's go real quickly. Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10, verse 31. Now this is dealing with Cornelius. Now here is Cornelius. If you don't know, he's a centurion of the Italian band, and a centurion was a Roman legion, and he was over 100 men. A centurion was over 100. And so you've got this setup. That's where he's over 100. A tribune was over 1,000, and a legate, he was over a legion, which would have been 6,000 men in the Roman way it went. So he's a centurion of the Italian band, but he was a man that was seeking God. He didn't know God, and he had heard of this God. And he would pray and burn incense and do just the best way he knew how. The best way he knew how, he was trying to get a hold of God to get something. He had a desirous heart. Now notice, remember, God looks at what? The heart. God always looks at the heart. He doesn't look at your outward appearance. He doesn't look at your finances. He doesn't look at what you're driving or what your home looks like. He looks at the heart of the individual. And if that heart, God has a desire for him, He will move mountains to get to that individual to talk to him, because that's what he's looking for. So here you have Cornelius. Cornelius is not a Jew. He's of the Italian band. He's a Gentile. He's a Roman. And he has a desire. And so God sends him a message. Now notice how God's doing this. God is moving some things around to get to this single individual to get an answer to him, because his heart is desirous for God. So notice he says there, he starts there in verse 31. If you go back up, an angel comes to Cornelius and talks to him. Now, I just want to give you a side note there. Notice the angel doesn't give him the gospel. It takes a man to give it to him. The angel shows up, tells him about Peter, said, well, send a couple of servants over there to get this guy. He's over here. This is where he'll be at. Send them, get him, and bring him back to you, and he'll tell you what you need to know. Notice the angel doesn't do it. Why? Because over in, where you go? You go over to Galatians, and it says, if an angel or anyone what? Let him be accursed. That angel is not allowed to preach the gospel. Only Peter or some man can preach it. That angel can only say, go get this guy. So God sends that angel a message, give him a message, tell him to go over there and get that guy. You get Peter, come back over there, and let Peter preach to him. So he does that. Now the reason I tell you that is God goes through all that just for one soul, one man, because he had a desire. Had a desire. And so you get there. Now notice over in where we were looking in Acts chapter 31, verse 31, and said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard. Just dealing with that. Thine alms are in remembrance in the sight of God. Send there to Joppa and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of one Simon, a tanner, by the seaside, who when he cometh shall speak unto thee. And immediately therefore I send unto thee, and thou hast well done, thou art come. Now therefore we are all here present. Cornelius, not only when he got that message, he went and got everybody he knew and packed them into that house and waited for Peter. Did you remember that now? This is a man, this is how thankful this Cornelius is. That when he finally got something from God, he made sure he wasn't just going to hold it to himself. He was going to make sure the rest of his family got in on it. And all his kinmen and all of his dear friends. And he packed them in that house. He said, listen, y'all just here. Get some of this sliced bologna. Get some crackers. Turn on the game, whatever. Watch football for a little bit. The preacher's coming. Just sit here and wait. Don't leave. Are you that thankful? Cornelius is pretty thankful, wasn't he? He said, we're here. And immediately, therefore, I sent to thee, verse 33, and thou hast well done and art come. Now, therefore, are we all present before God to hear all the things that are commanded thee of God. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. Glory to God for that statement. No respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. And the word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. The word I say ye know, which was published throughout all Judea and begun in Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus. And he goes on through there and he gives them the gospel. And they get saved. Do you think old Cornelius was thankful? I'd say Cornelius was thankful. Old Cornelius was thankful. He was thankful for salvation. But not only was he thankful for salvation, he was so ecstatic about that the fact that he was going to hear from God. He got everybody he could around him. When was the last time you were so ecstatic about coming to hear something from God that you made sure you brought people with you? That you saw the urgency of the need? Listen, friend, listen. You need to hear the gospel. Are you that thankful? Is the urgency of the need? Notice here in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, dealing with Paul. Paul here is now a prisoner, and Paul has preached the gospel, and he's gotten converted, he's saved now, and he's got out there and preached, and he's got himself in trouble in the jail because he's going to follow Jesus Christ. He ain't worried about the jail, he ain't worried about anything. He's just worried about getting the gospel out, man. He's wanting to get people saved. He's wanting to see the glory of God come down. He's just wanting to do what he can do. And we find over here in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 23, Paul is dealing here. He's in bonds. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. Now he's talking, he says, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. He's boasting a little bit. He said, I am more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in death oft. Of Jews 5 times I received 40 stripes, save one. Thrice I was beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day, and I have been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, and in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfuls, in watching often, in hunger and thirst and fasting often, in cold and nakedness. Besides those things are without, that which cometh upon me daily are the care of the churches. You know what Paul was thankful for? He was thankful for the bonds that he was in. He's saying, thank God, I've got a testimony that I can praise my Savior about. You know what? Hey, I got beat by for Jesus Christ. And I'm glad of it. I'd do it again. I've been in peril of robbers for my Lord and Savior, and I'd do it again. You get people today, man, say, well, you know, I don't want to go down there and pass out tracts, man. They kind of looked at me funny. I didn't like the feel of that place. Paul was thankful. Amen. Are you thankful? Are you thankful that you have the opportunity to do something for God? And it's showing that if you are thankful, we do it. Paul was thankful for his bonds. He was thankful for the things he went through. He was thankful for the opportunity to just be able to do for the Lord, no matter what the circumstances or what the cost was to his physical body. He didn't care. He was just thankful. Now, last one, verse Colossians chapter 4, and we'll end with this one. Colossians chapter 4, we'll end with it. We find here in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2. Colossians 4, 2. The Bible tells here, he says, continue in prayer and watch. What? In the same with thanksgiving. With prayerful watching for what? Watching for the return of Jesus Christ. Are you thankful that the Lord's going to come back? Are you thankful? Paul commands us to be thankful for that. You know, there's a lot of Christians. I want the Lord to come back, but I'd really like to be able to live my life. I really want to get married, and I want to do this, and I want to have some kids, and I want to do all that. And that's not being thankful. I understand the flesh part. I understand the immaturity of the young person. Listen, I get it. I'm not kicking. But at some point you need to go, you know, that's a childish thought. I should be wanting the Lord to come back whenever. Because see, that's the way we are. We want to do some things. You know, I want to see my graduation. I want to get through college. I want to see the world. Not the way it should be. We should be thankful and praying for God's return, the Lord's return, and saying, I'd rather have that than I would anything else. I'd rather have the fact that I get to see my Jesus than anything else, and be thankful for that. And thankful for the fact that He's going to come back. Are you thankful today? There were some really thankful people in the Bible. All right, we'll stand. Thankfulness.